Welcome to the 599 Sports Show, powered by Texas Podcast Media. Now here's your host, Craig Irwin, Toby Tullis, and Trent Hart. And good evening. Welcome to the 599 Sports Show. Craig Irwin in the Randy's Rubs hot box, Trent Hart in the Porter's Processing Swamp box, and Alex, as close as what you and Trent are together, we're going to say you're in the Porter's Processing Swamp box as well, although y'all are divided by Interstate 10 down there in Anahuac, Texas. How y'all doing, guys?
Good and well.
Got them both.
Regional final time.
It is regional final time. It's Thanksgiving week has surpassed us. Y'all have a good Thanksgiving.
Yeah, it was good. I mean, we went down to the in-laws and ate some turkey and a bunch of different, you know, the ever endless supply of side dishes.
Yes.
That are always supplied.
Yes.
Now, likewise, same here. Got to spend time with family, ate too much food, had some fun, and watched a lot of football.
Lots of football this last week. I mean, it was, you had trifectas to watch at NRG Stadium that went on Friday. Had games at the new Thorne Stadium there in Aldine. Toby went to that and then went from there to Wood Forest Stadium and watched the College Station game up there. And then from there, he went over to College Station to watch some mediocre college football game that was played on there, Hook'em Horns. I know we were all tuned into that one.
The one that everybody was just going APO over in Facebook and watching it, you know.
Yes.
Giving play-by-play on social media like we weren't all watching it.
Exactly. I think everybody in America was watching that football game. And but Texas pulls out and gets the dub and says, here we are. We're in the SEC now, folks. So,
yeah. Was there any question to that win, though? I wasn't for me.
Not for me either. Not for me either.
No.
So, Alex, what Trent and I have been working on coming in is as we all zoomed in together, and Trent and I was working on some stuff, keeping track of the 2 and 3 seeded teams, 2 and 3 seeds that are still playing in the regional finals this week. And there's actually a healthy list of the 2 seeds and a fair list of the 3 seeds. Am I correct, Trent?
Yeah, there's way more than what I think most people would expect or realize.
I counted seven.
Well, I think that's what's great about the high school football playoffs, especially when they expanded to 4 teams. There's a lot of what I call feast and famine districts in the state of Texas. And I think the districts, albeit, you know, some surprises coming abound, but you have those districts that that really surprise and run the gauntlet during the year. And this is the time of year for them to shine.
No, it is. And it's a lot of these teams that you see them and they peaked at the right time. They may have took a loss maybe too early on in district play, but yet peaked at the right time and then soared through the playoffs. We got a total of nine district rematches in the regional finals that we're going to talk about this week as well.
That's about 75% of what it was last season, if I recall. I think we had double digits last season.
I think you're right, Trent. And I know we, as in you and I, didn't break it down that hard last year as what we have this year, as you and I were texting back and forth over the last couple of days about games and district rematches. And Alex, there's some district rematches that Humble ISD is very proud of whenever they have 3 of their teams that are playing in the regional quarterfinals.
Yeah. If I'm not mistaken, first time in Humble ISD history that's happened for them. But the whole district getting through, creating rematches all, you know, 1 through 4. In fact, you've got North Shore as the 1 seed and Atascocita as the 2 seed matching up. And then you've got Kingwood as the 4 seed and Summer Creek as the 3 seed matching up. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
It is.
And some damn good ball games.
That ain't a lot. And just to start here at the 6A level, as we work down on the district rematches, and then we'll work back up the brackets, Trent, as we were talking about. But North Shore versus Atascocita, North Shore won that game 27-23 back in the regular season in 6A Division One. And this game taking place, I believe it's at NRG. Am I correct?
That's at Thorne Stadium on Saturday. Yeah.
They're going to pack that place. They've never had a crowd like they're going to have there. That's a brand new stadium there at Thorne, Aldine ISD. And then Kingwood versus Summer Creek, that was a one-point game back during the regular season and a game that we really watched a lot of, you know, scoreboard watching, if you will, because of what Summer Creek had done early on, but yet the way this district was unraveling, with us not early on really not seeing Kingwood being a factor into this, but as they was making theirself a factor, that being a 21-20 football game, this game could go either way, guys.
It really could. I mean, but how cool is it to be hosting this quarterfinal / regional final game as basically a home team for both teams?
I think it's really cool, in my opinion, that they're doing it, but I think they're underselling themselves.
How so?
I think the stadium's too small.
What do you think, Alex?
I tend to kind of agree with that. I think they could have found a bigger stadium, whether it was C.E. King. I know last year when North Shore and Atascocita played, they played at C.E. King High School, which does have more capacity than Turner Stadium. But at the same time, I get it. You know, you've got two Humble ISD schools. That money goes directly back into Humble ISD. So, I think they could have gone to a bigger stadium. I think it will be interesting to see the home side is bigger than the away side at Turner Stadium. So I'm interested to see if they're going to throw some temporary bleachers up to add to seating, because I think they're going to need it.
10,200 is what Turner Stadium seats. So the other side to this in the question, with you having three teams in the playoffs, in the regional finals, is this grounds, does Humble ISD start looking at maybe the possibility of doing a true upgrade to Turner Stadium and or getting rid of Turner Stadium and building a bigger stadium there for Humble ISD?
Well, I know with the sponsorship that they got, I want to say around a decade ago, maybe 12 years ago, that they did quite a bit of renovations to the stadium. You know, that's a good question. I'll have to reach out to some of my sources out there to see if there's been any type of talk or anything, you know, coming down the pipeline as to what could happen there.
Going
to
be
I'd be willing to bet with all of the stadiums that have been built, the behemoths, as we can call them, around the Houston metro, I'd be willing to bet that the conversation is being had, at least.
It almost has to be, right? In my opinion, it almost has to be. So it's going to be something definitely to look into and definitely to talk about. Because I don't see an end in sight with those schools and the growing in – Not just the growing, but yet the athleticism that they have, and they're year in and year out, they're competing and making deep runs in the playoffs with the growth there, the fan base there. It's going to get to a point, obviously, to where seating is going to be an issue there for Humble ISD, you know, at those football stadiums. Now, you do have Thorne right down the road that they just did. They're on the Beltway, and then the other side going down the Beltway, you have C.E. King Stadium, and then right around the corner from them is North Shore's stadium as well. So, for comparison, you know, and those are bigger stadiums. I don't have the actual numbers for North Shore. I can pull it up real quick. North Shore Stadium sits 10,300.
Yeah, GPISD Stadium was one of the original behemoth stadiums when it opened, they were, you know, touting it. I remember when they were touting it in Houston, you know, it kind of shocked everybody, A, that it got passed, and then it being built with the amount of money that was spent on it. But now, you know, you see it every year in different school districts throughout the state of Texas, who has the most up-to-date and the highest tech stadium. And you know, I think we mentioned it last week as well. I think there's some lower level colleges that would enjoy playing at some of these stadiums that we have here in Houston, the Dallas Metroplex, et cetera.
No, that's the truth there. Definitely the truth. There's some junior colleges in two and three, Division two and Division three colleges that aren't as nice as what some of these high schools are playing in. But, moving on, if you look down in for district rematches in 5A Division One, Angleton versus LaPorte, they're out of District 11, Region 3. Angleton lost 28-35 to LaPorte back during the regular season. And then in Region 1, District 3, Denton Ryan versus Aledo. They're in 5A Division One. Aledo won that game 42-27. They're out of 5A Division One. That's another district rematch. It's going to be a good one to keep an eye on as we creep into this regional final week. 5A Division Two, District Nine, Richmond Randall versus Iowa Colony. Randall won that one 39-10. And Iowa Colony, I believe, was one of those teams. Yes, they were a two seed. So they were the two seed behind Richmond Randall. 4A Division One, a big game that we're going to keep an eye on. Kilgore versus Chapel Hill. Kilgore won that one 42-7 back early on, a number of weeks ago, in district play there out of 4A Division One, Region Three. And then in Region Four, Lavernia versus Bay City. Bay City won that one 40-21 in 4A Division Two. Out of District 3, Brock beat Graham 48-0. That's another rematch this week in the regional finals. And then 2A Division 2, Collinsville falls to Munster 48-20. And that is a district rematch all the way down to 2A Division 2 as we look at the rematches this week, regional finals. So a lot of good games to look forward to. And these district rematches, I really kind of like them because that means those games are going to be relatively close for those people. It's not a lot of travel.
No, it won't be. I mean, they're all going to be relatively close and can, you know, get a pack the stands, you know, with both hometowns. And you know very well that at this point in the playoffs that, you know, all these towns are basically shutting down.
Yeah,
going to these games, whether they're on Friday or Saturday. I don't think we have any Thursday games.
I don't think there's any Thursday this week, but we're down to the final eight, right, in Texas high school football in every division. Totally looking forward to it and totally looking forward to diving into the brackets when we come back here on the 590 Sports Show as we start at 2A Division 2, and we're gonna work our way up to 6A, and we're going to talk about putting together a pick'ems contest for the state championship games as that's approaching ever so rapidly. You're listening to the 590 Sports Show powered by Texas Podcast Media. We'll be back right after this.
From custom processing, professional guide and hunts, high tanning and gator merchandise, Waters Processing and Alligator Farm offers a personal experience like no other. Locally owned and operated in Anahuac, Texas since 1987, Waters has been Southeast Texas' choice for any hunting adventure need. Now offering full-service processing of gator, deer, beef, hogs, and other wild game, make Porter's Processing this hunting season's one-stop shop. Go to portersprocessing.com or call 409-267-8413.
And welcome back to the 590 Sports Show. Craig Irwin, Alex Outram, and Trent Hart. Here in powered by Texas Podcast Media, Craig Irwin in the Randy's Rubs Hot Box, Trent Hart, Alex Outram in the Porter's Processing Swamp Box, powered by Zoom, fired by Zoom over here. So appreciate y'all guys tuning in, joining in with us. We talked about district rematches. We talked about two seeds. How many? 17 two-seed football teams, number two seeds, playing in the regional quarterfinals. Trent, how many three seeds did you have in there?
Six. So there's six three seeds, and there's a four seed that we'll get to here in a little while, too.
Going to get to it as we run through this. Hang on just a second. Got a text message coming in at the same time. We're actually going to talk about it sooner rather than later as we're diving into 2A Division I. We're going to start talking about that bracket and then working our way up, talking about these
D1
games.
D1 or
are
we
going
to D2? We're going to be at D2.
Where am I at? I'm at 2A, Division 2.
2A Division 2.
Yes, that's where I'm at right now, 2A mm-hmm. Division 2. And we're looking at Region 1.
Region 1.
So out of Region 1, you have Grover versus Ropes. And I don't know a whole bunch about either one of these teams. They're from across the state, right? And it's not even showing us where they're playing at. But for that being said, Grover is averaging 50.3 points a game to Ropes, 40.6 points a game. And looks like Ropes gets a little quicker start early on in the football game and then plateaus out through the third and fourth quarter to where Grover, they're better off in the middle of the game and slack off towards the end. So it's going to be interesting to watch him too, watch those scores. And like I say, it's hard for me to get into this 2A football, just especially that side of town because it's so far out of the way, Trent.
Now, Grover's 13-0, and it's actually Ropesville Rope 12-1. That's going to be 7 o'clock Friday at Canyon's Happy State Bank Stadium. And you move on to Region 2. You got Collinsville 12-1 versus Munster 11-2, 7 p.m. at Denison's Munson Stadium. Munster's a team that we've seen in these playoff brackets quite a few times over the last few years. Then you move over to Region 3 where you've got, here's one of our third seeds. It's Graplin versus Bremond. Graplin's 10-3, Bremond's 11-2. That's going to be 6 o'clock Friday at Madisonville's Mustang Stadium. And like you said, Graplin, one of the three seeds coming out of District 11. Bremond comes out of District 10. These two teams met each other in week two of the regular season where Graplin lost to Bremond 32-44. And that's not the only common thread between these two teams. Graplin took on Goldthwaite and area round beat them 39-29, where Bremond met Goldthwaite early in the regular season and defeated them. And, of course, a team that we've talked about a lot is Lovelady, where Graplin dropped to Lovelady early on in the regular season, but Bremond took care of them in the area round 34-14.
And talking about that Bremond football team, I want to talk about that Terrence Scott, once again, number zero for Bremond, averaging 130.5 yards per game on the ground. That is just absolutely crazy. He's ranked 20th, or his national average is 20th as I'm going through and looking at all this stuff. The kid's an absolute – on the roster, they have him listed as Tank Scott, and there's a trio of them. You have Terrence Scott, and then you have – I forget the other two's name, but one's a junior, the one's a sophomore, and one's a freshman. And all three of those boys are absolute ballers there for Bremond. So look for Bremond pull the dub out in this one and move on to the state semifinal round.
Yeah, then you jump over to Region 4. You got Junction versus Shiner. Junction's 12-1, Shiner 10-3. Here's a Thursday game, 7 p.m. Thursday at San Antonio's Heroes Stadium. And, you know, Shiner is also another team that we've seen in the playoffs quite a bit over the last few years. You know, Junction hadn't seen them in a while, but I can remember back in junior high and high school, we used to hate traveling to Junction to play ball games.
Good old Junction, America. Moving over. Go ahead.
That's unfortunate that this far deep in the playoffs, they're having to play Thursday games.
You know, I wonder, and it's been a conversation that we've had off and on the show, but you often wonder, is it officiating? right? As you're narrowing down into the regional finals, are they, or the quarterfinals, however you want to call it, is it they're wanting the best that they can get as far as officials? And so they choose to play a Thursday night game in order to be able to get the better officials than what maybe they've been dealing with throughout the playoffs.
With as many games as probably being played in the San Antonio area, I mean, that San Antonio chapter is probably, you know, being pulled in every which direction to call games, right? And you're wanting their best officiating crew, like you said. But it's also, I think, got a lot to do with schools willing to host. I mean, last week we were even seeing people asking for schools to actually host. I mean, I know it's Thanksgiving week, but there's that aspect too.
No, I agree with that. And, you know, talking about schools hosting, you know, Madisonville was another one that they stepped up and was hosting because those schools couldn't get anybody to host games. And then once again, Bremon is back in Madisonville this week against Grapeland, as Bremon, that's where them and Lovelady played just 2 weeks ago. So could be kind of the same type scenario. But looking over into 2A Division One, Region One, Post versus Stamford, both winners out of their district. Post out of District Two, Stamford out of District Four. Both teams undefeated and getting to the regional finals, and somebody's going to go home a loser at the end of the day.
Yeah, that one's another 7 p.m. kickoff on Thursday night.
That it is. I literally just seen that pop up, but yeah, another Thursday night game there in the 2A. If you drop down to 2A Region 2, got Hamilton versus Axtell. Both teams, Hamilton out of District 5, Axtell out of District 7. The Axtell Longhorns, that's who I got to go with. Just because they're the horns.
Just because of the name?
Yeah, just because they're the Longhorns, right? So, Axtell's 12-1 overall. They're 3-0 on, obviously both teams are 3-0. Hamilton's undefeated 13-0 thus far into the season. Ought to be a really, really good football game. Moving up into Region 3 and 2A Division 1, Honey Grove versus Joaquin. And Joaquin is that 4 seed that we talked about, Trent.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we had a lot of talk about the four team format and what the drawbacks of it were, right? And it was the blowouts that we see early on in the playoffs, and that is probably the only drawback to it. But as Alex mentioned earlier, I mean, since they've went to the four team format, you're able to see, you know, a lot of these teams get in their groove,
right?
And it wouldn't be possible we wouldn't be talking about a fourth seed out of a district playing in the regional final if it wasn't for that. So going to that four-team format, this is, you know, this proves why, you know, they went to that, and the not just the money grab part of it, but, you know, giving teams the opportunity to get better and to have a chance to play in this type of game.
So interesting stat that I was able to pull up between these two football teams. Honey Grove is averaging 41 points a game to Joaquin's 42 points a game. So this is really an opportunity where, and you think about the district that Joaquin come out of, if we were able to pull it up, that district, if I remember correctly, is pretty stacked. They come out of that district with Corgan, Tenahall. Let's see, hang on. Let me get back to Hempson. The district. Excuse me, Hemp Hill, Timpson, Shelbyville, Garrison, Centerville. Centerville was a playoff game. But a pretty tough district that Joaquin has come out of to be a 4 seed, especially whenever you throw Garrison into the mix. We know the heritage that Garrison and Timpson both bring to the table in Texas high school football. And to still be playing there, as they defeated Shelbyville, which was a district rematch, that was a 4 seed beating the 1 seed out of District 11 to move on.
Beat them handedly.
Yes.
54-30.
Yep. So Joaquin, once again, that 4 seed peaking at the right time and doing that deal. Got Honey Grove this week. Going to be interesting to see how that plays out. And then you got Marlin versus Grenado. That game being played at Toyota Rattler Stadium in San Marcos. Both teams, Marlin the winner out of District 13, Grenado the winner out of District 15. And if you look at them, Grenado's averaging 47 points a game. So look for Grenado to possibly pull the win out in that one.
Yeah, that whole division playing on Thursday night, each one of those games. So, that's wrong. Hamilton and Axtell.
Here's another thing to think about in those 2A football games is as you start transitioning, getting closer to the state championship, they will play on Thursday night or Thursday night. So that's probably why they're transitioning to them Thursday games.
That's a good point.
Yeah, because they'll start with 6-man and 1A on Wednesday, and then Thursday will be 2A.
Yeah, they'll run 2A and then probably 3A Division 2 and then 3A Division 1 and up on Friday going into the big schools on Saturday. They'll get – Friday will be 3A and 4A, and then you'll have 5A, 6A. Wrapping out the day Saturday at AT&T Stadium here in just a couple weeks. But where are we at? 3A Division 2? Is that where we're at, Trentster?
3A Division 2, Region 1.
Run with it.
All right, Region 1, you got Canadian 10-3 versus Wall 12-1. That's 6 p.m. Friday at Lubbock's Patriots Stadium. Canadian is another team that we see often this deep in the playoffs. Wall has been in the mix over the last few years, so another interesting matchup.
If you
Region
look at
two,
their, look
you got
at,
Holiday versus Gunter, both teams 11-2. That's going to be played on Thursday at Melissa's Kenny Deal Stadium.
Go back to that Canadian Wall game. Canadian's been averaging 43.2 points a game to Wall's 42.5. Just throwing that out there on how close this game could be.
Oh yeah, I mean that should end up being a pretty good matchup actually. Region 3, and this is a region that we've covered extensively, right? You've got the runner-up in District 12, Woodville, taking on the runner-up in District 10, Dangerfield. And Dangerfield coming off of a big win, 62-28 over Newton. And Woodville handling DeKalb, I mean, better than I think most people thought, 42-12 last week.
So Dangerfield's averaging 39 points a game to Woodville's 40.8, and Woodville's a football team that all three of us have seen extensively over the years and this year to go with that.
Yeah, we really
– Go ahead, Alex.
Go ahead, Trent.
Alex, go ahead.
Really surprised. I know that was a game that we had highlighted last week, switching to Dangerfield and Newton. Was very surprised when I saw the outcome to that game. I'm sure you guys were too. I did not expect Dangerfield to run away with the game as much as they did.
Yeah, definitely wasn't. I wasn't expecting that either, Trent.
No, I'm with you. I didn't expect the game to be that much lopsided. Kind of a stigma there when, I can't remember how many years in a row that Newton and Dangerfield have met each other in the postseason. I know it was quite a few when we had some of the guys talking in the chat. But moving up to the Woodville DeKalb, I didn't expect that game to be as lopsided as it was either. But Woodville, a team that, we've said all year that we were going to see them playing past Thanksgiving, and here we are.
Now, I agree. And we've talked on the show at length about Woodville and how we feel about Woodville and what kind of a team that they are, especially stepping down from 3A Division 1, dropping down to 3A Division 2, and what an advantage it was going to be for them. But here's the bigger question is what happened in Newton? Look at just their playoff games. They beat West Russ 60-24. Okay, that's a 1 seed, 4 seed. They beat Edgewood 84-42. And then can only put up 28 points up against Dangerfield. Dangerfield, we did the Newton Dangerfield game last year, Trent, am I correct?
I covered it with Meeks with SETX the Tomato Bowl.
That's
last
right.
year.
I wasn't able to go to that game.
And Newton dropped that particular – that game was in the regional final. Okay. And but you're right. I mean, it's like what happened to Wood – or what happened to Newton's offense? Maybe just Dangerfield did their homework and just they know how to beat that Newton offense?
Maybe. And to shut them down to the 28 points, I was thinking grades maybe. But it's kind of mid-year. Grades shouldn't have been out, but there's so many districts going to a 9-week school district or grading period now. Did that kind of fluctuate it a little bit? But nonetheless, I mean, I'm really shocked that Newton was only able to put up 28 points in that football game.
Yeah, for sure. But, we were hoping for a Woodville-Newton rematch this week so that maybe we might be able to cover that. But we got Woodville-Dangerfield, which should be a pretty good game. I mean, Woodville is really on a roll. I would think that they can probably keep up with Dangerfield maybe a little bit better, we would hope. But that's going to be 7 p.m. Friday at Palestine's Wildcat Stadium. Going to be a good one, and I'm sure a lot of people from around here, I think, well, it is from our region – from our area anyway, Woodville is one of the few teams left standing.
Hey, I want to bring something up. We had a rodeo today up in Crockett, and we kind of where we sit. You know, my wife is all about routine, and she wants to sit the same place every week, you know, so on and so forth. But there are some people there that sit there next to us that are from Finette, and they – could not rave on enough about y'all's Hampshire Finette broadcast that y'all did through the postseason that they were able to watch there on the NFHS network, and how classy and well put together y'all's broadcast was, Alex and Trent there with Anahuac Sports Live. So just kind of give y'all a little love on that deal that, I talk about the sports show and everything. We talk about high school football, but really with wherever I go and whatever I do and getting that kind of feedback, and this lady not knowing that, you know, we're sewed in so tight together, but yet was so willing to talk about y'all's broadcast and how it's better than any other broadcast that they've tried to watch with Hampshire Finette through the regular season. So hats off to y'all guys.
Well, it's always good to hear, for sure. We love covering Hampshire Finette. You know, their fans and their school and coaches and players are always very gracious and appreciative, and that goes a long way.
No, it does. And so I just wanted to pass that along as we were rolling through and talking about the Woodville Dangerfield game. Wanted to give y'all those little bit of props that's due to y'all, as I know I give y'all hell a lot of times, but I also try to give y'all a little bit of praise.
Now that I echo Trent's sentiments. Hampshire Finette is always very willing to give us information, give us access. And so that's awesome to hear. And definitely glad to know that they enjoyed the broadcast.
Moving in, the final game out of 3A Division II before we take a break, it's going to be Lexington versus Tidehaven. And that game, I didn't see where it was being played at. It's going to be at Pridgen Stadium. You there?
Yeah, I was saying it was going to be in Cypress Pridgen Stadium, like you said.
Yeah, at Pridgen Stadium there. So somewhat close. Lexington averaging 50 points a game to Tidehaven's 33.3 points per game. So going to be interesting to see that matchup. You can almost kind of draw it out, you know, with some of these teams. Whenever you look at the point spread on how this bracket's going to play out, but yet whenever you move up there and you look at that Woodville Dangerfield game, you're just not quite sure how that's going to play out as you look at the points differential, you know, throughout with points scored averaging per game. So it's going to be very interesting to see. So we're going to take a quick break here on the 599 Sports Show. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about 3A Division One up through 4A Division One here on the 599 Sports Show, powered by Texas Podcast Media. We'll be back right after this.
Howdy, folks. Randy here. At Randy's Rubs, it is our mission to bring you a variety of mouthwatering seasonings that are sure to make the ordinary extraordinary, to make the impossible possible. Creating memories with friends and family is what is most important to us, and we hope to be the cornerstone of your meals, making memories with the ones you love most. As all of you continue on your fall sports journey, Randy's Rubs wishes each of you an incredible season, and may each of you be an All-American. Go check us out on Amazon or at randysrubs.com. It don't suck, y'all.
And welcome back to the 599 Sports Show, powered by Texas Podcast Media. Craig Irwin in the Randy's Rubs Hot Box, Trent Hart, Alex Outram, and the Porter's Processing Swamp Box. And guys, if y'all haven't visited these sponsors, you need to. Porter's Processing, whether it's deer season, alligator season's over, it's deer season, they got the gates open, bring all the meat you can, and let them get in there and get it processed up for you there. And then once you get it back, go over to www.randysrubs.com or find them on Amazon and go get you some seasoning. I'm gonna tell y'all, my wife talked me into buying this oilless air fryer. It runs all propane at Academy, not sponsored. And so I went and bought this dude, and she had a big old 14-pound turkey. And I seasoned that dude up with some Randy's Rubs and dropped that dude in that tankless fryer. 2.5 hours, it was done. And I'm going to tell you, that was one of the best turkeys I'd ever ate in my life. It was just absolutely good. I'm still eating on it today just because, one, we have leftovers, but it is that good. I had Caden Barton over at the house yesterday working, and Caden got in there and made him a turkey sandwich, and he ended up making him a second one. He's like, man, this stuff is really, really good. So y'all go see our good friends over there at Randy's Rubs, www.randysrubs.com, or you can find them on Amazon. It don't suck, I can promise you that.
And let them know that you heard about them on the 599 Sports Show. You know, they always like to know that, you know, that we pointed them over there to them.
Yeah, most definitely. Porter's Processing and Randy's Rubs, both of them. Let them know we sent you over there. We greatly appreciate that. Let them know that their voice is being heard by us. We're definitely putting out for them. So you can't go wrong with those guys. And just, even though Randy's an Aggie, we still accept him, right?
Sure.
So let's jump into 3A Division One, kind of our wheelhouse, Trent, that we like to talk about. We really stay engaged in, obviously, because the schools we cover are in 3A Division One. And we're going to start over there. In Region 1, Shallow Water versus Paradise. And Paradise was a team that I had picked going into this regional quarterfinals as a team that I thought would be there. Shallow Water's been averaging 37.2 points a game to Paradise's 32.8. This could be the end of Paradise for Paradise. Would you agree?
It could be. It could be. Don't know a whole lot about either one of these teams. I know the names, right? I've seen that Paradise name in the mix for a long time, but your guess is as good as mine there.
Yeah. Dropping down into Region 2, Liberty Aleu versus Malakoff. Aleu defeated Winsboro last week. 56-49 was the final there. Oh, Sleepy Joe can now go to rest. Since softball season is fast approaching. But Malakoff defeated Jefferson 31-21 last week. Those two are going to square off at Tyler Rose Stadium. And you look at points average, Malakoff averaging just over 50 points a game to Liberty Aleu's 47.1 points per game. So ought to be a pretty good matchup there at the Tyler Rose Stadium. there in Northeast Texas. Definitely worth looking at. Game that we're really going to have our eyes on, Columbus versus Franklin. Not the matchup I was expecting out of this.
No, not the matchup I was really expecting either. I expected Hitchcock to come out last week. I think Alex can say the same after we were talking last week about, you know, Hitchcock's defense. And I don't know, maybe they were a little banged up coming out of the Teague game, because I know that they had some players that went down. Nevertheless, we got a Columbus-Franklin matchup that I wonder how many times they've met up in the playoffs.
I don't know. If you dig it up, I'll talk about this, but Columbus averaging 52 points a game to Franklin's 49 points per game. So that right there is interesting in itself. Columbus coming into this with a 12-1 record to the Franklin Lions 10-2 record, Alex, as you know, Franklin got a, I know it's hard to say with the 10-2, but Franklin really got off to a slow start this year.
Now, you know, that's kind of what we talked about last week, was that in particular, that slow start that Franklin got off to. We've been so used to seeing them year after year after year dominate, and to see them have some hiccups prior to the playoffs was a little bit surprising. But, you know, talk about getting right, getting hot at the right time. Franklin is there, right? They have a sound defense, and they have an offense that they start, you know, with the kids young in peewee football, working their way up through high school. So I think it's going to be an interesting matchup. But I would have liked to have seen Columbus Hitchcock rematch, and I do think that Columbus will defeat Franklin to move on.
I feel that way as well. Whenever I look at this and just knowing what Columbus is, not taking anything away from Franklin, that game still, they haven't slated where that game is going to be at that I've seen yet, as I'm the websites that I've looked at. But Franklin, you know, they have a stable of running backs. And we seen that last year whenever we did Franklin Shepherd, right? And seen the amount of underclassmen that come in mid to late part of the game and was getting touches. So Franklin, you can never count them out. And they are so routine with what they do. And that's why they're such a good football team. As you stated, with the Little League football program all the way up to high school, they're running the same offense. I know LaGrange does the same thing, a good friend of mine. He coaches the freshman group over there in LaGrange right now with his little one. And, you know, them coaches come out and they run a condensed down version of the same playbook as what they run in high school, you know, and that's how you build those programs. And Franklin has been doing this for such a long time that, I mean, it's bred into these kids from the time they're born on what they're going to do. And I mean, you could almost, I feel like at that age, if you were born and raised in Franklin before you get into junior high, you already know what position you're going to be playing for the next 6 years of your football career at the collegiate level, at the, you know, high school level and junior high level of football there in Franklin.
Well, going back, they haven't met each other as much as I thought. The only time that they had met in the postseason was in 2022, where Franklin beat them by a field goal. 24-21 was the final, and that was one of the years that Franklin won it all and went to AT&T Stadium.
And those field goals are very important, and getting a win by one is even bigger. Dropping down into Region 4, Llano versus Edna. Edna undefeated on the season. This game being played Friday at San Antonio's Hero Stadium. And, you know, one of the things, Toby gets very silent whenever we get to the postseason as far as coming in and getting on the podcast. He gets very, very silent. But one thing he does do is he texts and he lets us know that that we're not giving Edna enough love on the 5-9 Sports Show. And I said, well, they're a little far south down 5-9 for the 590 Sports Show. But here we are. We're going to give Edna some love. 13-0 is their record. And let's see how many point what their average points per game are. Edna's averaging 46.8 points per game to Llano's 33.9 points per game. I got Edna going to the semifinals to face Columbus. And going to be curious where that game's going to be, with both teams being, one being west and one being south. Are they going to play that in San Antonio, or are they going to bring it to Houston?
Yeah, that'll be interesting to see. I mean, we'll see how it goes after this Friday. But no, I mean, Edna's another team since 2021. They've made pretty good runs in the playoffs. So maybe we don't give them enough love.
Maybe we don't, but they're just down south. They're kind of out of our reach, not in our region. They're down there in Region 4. We don't talk a lot about Region 4 until we get to this point of the playoffs.
Yep.
Jumping up into 4A Division 2. Brock versus Graham out of Region 1 at Memorial Stadium at Tarleton State University. Game being played up there. Over in Region 2, Van versus Carthage. And I haven't seen where they've listed that game. Have you seen that one, Trent? I'm looking.
It's going to be at Longview's Pirates Stadium.
Okay. Yep. I just seen. Had to go to that other site to be able to pull that up. See.
Jumping back to Region 1 real quick. How well has Brock transitioned from 3A to 4A?
They've never missed a beat.
Never missed a beat.
And could very easily. I truly feel like you're going to see a Brock versus Carthage in the state semifinals, and I believe that that's going to probably be your state championship football game, but we cannot count Wimberley out in that either.
You're just saying that because of certain somebody.
No, I ain't saying that because of a certain somebody. I truly feel like that Brock Carthage game is going to be a state championship caliber football team game. Sealy versus Waco La Vega. I think Sealy, both of these teams are 10-3. That game's being played in Pflugerville at the field. I think it's going to be a good football game. Could go either way. I feel like Sealy will probably pull the win out of that, but Wimberley put 69 up over Cuero, 69-28 last week. So they have Sitton this week, who beat Lago Vista 35-0. It's going to be a football game. And I am a Wimberley. I am a Wimberley fan. They've beat Cold Spring enough in the postseason. I've watched them enough. And I like that little town too.
Sure. Yeah, looking back at that Sealy Waco La Vega game, you know, I think the bracket has broken very well for Sealy. Waco La Vega has played, you know, some outstanding football teams, but you know, seeing Sealy the weekend before last, and you know, just seeing the direction that team's heading. I think I'm with you, Craig. I think Sealy pulls the upset over Waco La Vega and moves on to what could be a buzzsaw in Wimberley.
No, I agree. Trent's not going to see things our way, Alex.
Well, no matter what, though. I think that Sealy La Vega game can go either way. But either way, when you talk about Sealy, we talked about how young they were last week. They're going to be ranked very high coming out in the preseason next season, and rightfully yes. So. They're going to be super scary next year.
Now, and I do remember, Trent, you and I having that conversation, you talking about Sealy being as young as what they are. And you know what? They're a 3-seed playing this game. Probably really even shouldn't
nothing
be
to lose.
Yeah. I mean, they're like, hey, we made a great run this year, seniors. I'm sorry y'all are leaving. But guess what? We're going to reload and we're going to be better than what we were last year. So that's kind of how you look at that Sealy football team. And I got to give Toby some props. He talked about Sealy early on. Do you remember that, Trent?
I don't recall it, but I'll take your word for it.
No, he did. If you go back and listen, I forget. what episode, you know, back in, but I think we're in, this is like episode 39 of the 590 Sports Show. Next week we'll be hitting the big 4-0. We'll be over the hill, right? So I'm excited about that 4A, those 4A Division II matchups. I really, really am. I hate that we don't have anybody in Southeast Texas that's still in there as a playmaker, but I'm really excited on how that's going to play off. And once again, you talk about Brock with what they've done in their transition from 3A Division I up to 4A Division II. Totally looking forward to that.
Yeah, no doubt.
4A Division I?
4A Division I.
Stephenville, still in the mix over there in Region 1. At, what is that? Aspen Broadband Stadium in Midland? Is that where that game's being played?
Yeah, Astound Broadband Stadium.
Wow. Against West Plains. And Stephenville was the team that we didn't know where they was going to be. It's kind of weird not seeing China Springs in the mix of all of this, right?
Right.
But that game being played over there in Midland, long road trip for Stephenville. Oh, it seems long for us, right?
Yeah.
Dropping down into go ahead.
I was just going to say, you know, Stephenville had kind of gone through a lull where, you know, they were historically making – really long runs in the playoffs, so I think it's kind of nice to see them back and taking care of business there in Region 1.
They've been averaging 46 points per game to West Plains 39.6 points per game, so it's going to be very interesting, and looking to see Stephenville move on to face the winner of this one, Alvarado versus Salina. And this game here, I didn't see where it was being played at, but Alvarado averaging 57 points a game. Salina, 51 points per game. So, going to be interesting.
Feel pretty comfortable that we're going to see Stephenville Salina in the semifinal.
Yeah.
I agree. That game, Alvarado Salina game is at Grapevine's Mustang Panther Stadium Friday night.
Okay. Oh, they're in Grapevine. Moving over into Region 3, district rematch, 1 seed versus 3 seed, Kilgore versus Chapel Hill. Going to be a good one.
And didn't that is that. What was the score of their game, Craig, again?
Hang on. Let me flip my page over, and I'll be able to tell you that.
If I remember right, I feel like Kilgore took – care of them pretty handily.
42-7 was the final there.
Yeah.
That's at Forney's Citibank Stadium up there in Forney, up there around Dallas. So long road trip for both of them to get up there for that football game. Going to be an interesting one. Tyler Chapel Hill's been that football team that always plays better in the postseason than what they do in the regular season. But if you'll remember, I brought this up early on. I said that I felt like that this was Kilgore's year to win the state title, especially after they knocked Carthage off early on. I still feel that way, and I think Kilgore is going to roll.
I think you're right.
In Region 4, Lavernia versus Bay City. Lavernia 10-3, Bay City 12-1 at Bastrop's Memorial Stadium. I've actually done a game there. Bay City beat Lavernia earlier on this season. 40-21 was the final there. So they're in 4A Division I. We might as well just run through the gauntlet and go hit 5A Division I and 2. What do y'all think, guys?
Hey, I'm ready to rock.
You ready to rock? I want to rock. I need to not do that ever again.
No, you might be able to add that to, you know, in between segments or something.
Yeah, definitely don't need to do it while we're on the air, right? So in 5A Division II, Region 1, Lovejoy versus Argyle, Children's Health Stadium. Lovejoy's been averaging 50.8 points a game to Argyle's 41.4 points per game. And Lovejoy's been averaging 211 yards per game on the ground, 216 in the air, to a very balanced look on the other side of the ball with Argyle, 198.5 yards per game in on the ground and 220 in the air. So it's not a – you look at their receiving yards per game, 220 versus 219. I mean, they're very – look at their numbers, very evenly matched until you get to the defensive side of things. And Lovejoy averaging 88.4 tackles a game to Argyle 64.2. So defense is the name. And we've always said defense wins championships. And, you know, averaging that many tackles per game, 88.4 for Lovejoy, that's why they're where they're at, right?
And you talk about defense, and that's what's going to come into play for this next game in Region 2.
South Oak Cliff versus PNG, Stephen F. Austin Stadium, Lumberjack Stadium, where that game's being played. The Dogs are coming to town in Nacogdoches, and it's going to be a football game. I just don't know what else to say.
No, it will be. I watched a little bit of PNG, Texas High, not much of it, but it ended up being a great game and come down to the fourth quarter. And, you know, here's some stuff for you. I mean, PNG's averaging 39.7 points per game, South Oak Cliff 38.5. And here's the key: points given up per game. PNG's given up 21.8 to South Oak Cliff's 11.6.
Defense wins championships.
Yeah, and the playoff appearances, PNG has 40, South Oak Cliff has 37. State championship, PNG with 4, South Oak Cliff with 2. Appearances, PNG 8, South Oak Cliff 3. The series is tied 1-1, and we know all too well how that game went last year.
So my question, here's my deal, is – we talk about state championship caliber football games before the state championship football game, and this is one of those games right here. It's a rematch. Lovejoy Argyle, that's going to be a good game. Richmond Randall, Iowa Colony, over out of Region 3. Don't feel like that's that big of a game. They actually played each other earlier on this season in district. I'm trying to pull it up. Is Randall won that one 39-10, right? So Richmond Randall should skate through Iowa Colony here in Region 3, and I'll get over to my point. And then you look at Miller versus Bernie, that game being played at the Alamo Dome on the 6th of December. The state championship game is coming out of Region 2. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. That state championship game is getting played this week.
What do you think, Alex?
I agree. PNG and South Oak Cliff, both two, you know, pretty storied teams out of the state of Texas. I know that the head coach of SFA, was reading an article today. He's stoked to be having these two programs coming to town. They get to show off Nacogdoches and the campus of SFA, and you know that's a good recruiting tool. So having those two programs coming up there, he said he'd be willing to do anything. If they need a ball boy, he'll be down there running balls. So you know, Homer Bryce Stadium is probably going to see a bigger fan base than what they're used to. At least when I was going there, I remember how, the dozens of people that went to the football games, think it's going to be a little bit different, this time around, but I do agree, the winner of this football game, has a very good shot at taking it all this year.
So, and you go and you look at it and you look at Richmond Randall with who they played and, you know, Brenham, I feel like was probably their, just look at the scores. Brenham was their toughest opponent that they've played through the playoffs. They beat Belton 63-7. Richmond Randall shut Elgin out 79-0. And then Brenham, it was a 28-14 football game. And then you go through the trick that Iowa Colony, the trip Iowa Colony took to get to where they're at. They had some good football games, but Richmond Randall's going to run through Iowa Colony. I mean, other than Brenham, who have they played? Nobody through the playoffs.
I really think this game is going to be closer than you think.
The Randall-Iowa Colony game?
Yes. I think Iowa Colony, we're talking about teams who have gotten hot at the right time. Iowa Colony is playing some very good football right now. They may not have enough to defeat them, but I think it's going to be a lot closer than what you think.
And I'm going to give Iowa Colony some credit there. Their defense has only allowed 46 points throughout the playoffs, which is a very astounding number. I mean, if you think about it, looking through there. So, it may be a game, a better game than what I think it's going to be. Going back and looking, but I guess I'm stuck on what they did in the regular season. You know, they're in 5A division and they're out of their district, out of District 9. I look at that and that kind of sticks in my head overall. But it's going to be interesting to see how this 5A division too. I wish Toby was here to give a little bit more insight, but I got a big circle around the South Oak Cliff, Port Neches Grove games. P&G can fill the house up over there.
Oh, they will.
Oh, absolutely.
And South Oak Cliff's going to travel big. That place, as you said, it's going to be Texas high school, probably going to be one of the biggest crowds throughout Texas high school football this week. If you go back and you look at the attendance records with those two, and I think they broke the attendance record last year in the state championship game. Am I correct on that?
You might be right.
I know it was real close. It was somewhere around 65,000 at AT&T Stadium. So it's going to be interesting. Moving over into 5A Division 1, Region 1, Denton Ryan versus Aledo. Ryan's at runner-up, that 2-seed that's playing for in the regional finals. Crowley ISD Stadium, very nice complex. Trent and I, you and I know that complex all too well, as we went and did a couple games up there last year, Thanksgiving weekend. So big game there. Dropping into Region 2, Lone Star versus Highland Park at the Ford Center at the Star. Been there, went and watched. If y'all have never been to an indoor high school football stadium, that's the one to go to. Super, super nice facility. Popcorn's not as good as Randall Reed Stadium, but very nice facility. up in Region 3, a rematch out of District 11. So out of Region 1, you had a rematch of Denton Ryan versus Aledo. And then over here in Region 3, Angleton versus LaPorte. And where's that game being played at? That's at NRG, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Saturday.
Saturday at NRG. As I look at this game, I'm trying to go through my notes. Angleton lost 28-35 to LaPorte. Angleton, it may be that right time of the year where they peaked and was able to make some adjustments and could possibly pull out a win. Had a big win last week against College Station. College Station was ranked in the top 10 the majority of the season last year, guys. And LaPorte knocked off A&M Consolidated 35-17 last week. So going
to
be
I'll be the first to admit I got both of those wrong.
You and I both.
I had a battle of Brian coming up, and what I continue to think is a fairy tale season for LaPorte continues on. Angleton, you know, took care of business. All the credit in the world to Angleton and LaPorte as they did. They took care of business to move on. Nonetheless, very surprising outcome in both those games, in my opinion.
No, very much so. And Toby went to one of the two, if not both of those games, this last week. So I wish he was here to be able to talk about him, but I know he went to the Angleton College Station game. That was up there at Woodforest Stadium. He went there Friday night, and he was at Turner Stadium Friday during the day. But dropping down into Region 4, you have Flower Bluff versus Smithson Valley. This is a 3 seed and a runner-up facing off against each other. The 1 seeds are out. So Flower Bluff has been averaging 46.1 points per game. Smithson Valley, 44.8 points per game. So going to be an interesting matchup. Flower Bluff, 12-1. Smithson Valley, 11-2. And a good old battle of a 2-3 seed in the regional finals. That's pretty impressive in my book.
Yes, it is. Smithson Valley, another one of those schools that turn it on in the playoffs, and I would not be surprised to see Smithson Valley move on.
Trinster, you want to run down 6A Division II?
Yeah, get over there to it. Almost there. 6A Division II, Region 1. You got Denton Geyer, 10-3 versus South Lake Carroll Dragons, 13-0. That's 2:30 Saturday at Denton's DATCU Stadium. I think South Lake Carroll is on a crack to AT&T Stadium. That's just my personal opinion. Even though that they'll have to be, you know,
they've been
looking at DeSoto probably.
They've been averaging 51.5 points per game to Guire's 38 points per game. That ought to tell you enough right there.
Yeah.
Region South Lake Carroll, again, one of those teams, rinse, repeat, right? After year after year.
Most definitely.
Yeah, I mean, they're very, very consistent no matter what division, and they've climbed the divisions like no other team in a short period of time than any team in the state. That area of the Dallas Metroplex has just really blown up, and South Lake Carroll has been a beneficiary for sure. Region 2, you've got DeSoto, 11-2, taking on Longview, 11-2, 3 p.m. Saturday at Waco's McLean Stadium. And a disappointment for our Willis guys up there, dropping that game to DeSoto, 55-35. Willis was actually leading that game in the first quarter, weren't they?
Yeah, they were leading it. They was up 14-7. I sent you a screenshot of it as we were watching the A&M Texas game. And I was watching some high school scores, and that was one of them that I was looking at. DeSoto averaging 53.8 points per game to Longview's 32 points per game. I think this is going to be a lopsided one for DeSoto. Probably a slow start, but could it be fair to say that if you look at a South Lake Carroll DeSoto matchup, that this could be the end of the road next week for DeSoto? What y'all's thoughts?
If they were to meet South Lake Carroll?
Yeah.
It possibly could be. I don't feel like DeSoto is as good as they were last year.
I don't think they are either, and I think their record says that as well overall. But you move over to Region 3, Summer Creek versus Kingwood. We talked about this one as we opened up the show. And this game being played, it's a home game for both teams at Turner Stadium there in Humble. The place is going to be rocking. And Summer Creek, I mentioned it to you, Summer Creek's only allowed 35 points here in the postseason. And I think Summer Creek, although it was a 21-20 game back in the regular season, I think Summer Creek kind of rolls with this one. And Summer Creek's going to get a very good opportunity to move on to the state championship football game, as they'll face whoever wins that game will face the winner of Vandergrift Vipers and the Harlan Hawks. Both teams 12-1. And if you look at this one, about evenly matched, both teams averaging 43 points per game. They're out of Region 4.
Yep. That brings us to the, go ahead, Alex.
No, I was just going to say, I think that DeSoto South Lake Carroll. I don't think you can count. You can really ever count DeSoto out, even if they go up against a reloaded South Lake Carroll team. I think that's still going to be a fantastic ball game. But I do see Summer Creek. I think they'll take care of Kingwood a little bit easier than what they did in district play. And I definitely expect to see them making the trip up to Dallas.
I do as well. I'm very excited for that Summer Creek football team and with what they've done. A good friend of mine, Marcus Jones, his son plays for Summer Creek. Super excited for him, you know, and to see what the Summer Creek football team can do. But you jump over to 6A Division One. We're going to talk about some more Humble ISD schools. Is once again, we opened the show up talking about these guys, but in 6A Division One, over in Region One, North Crowley versus Allen, and North Crowley's been a team that's been talked about a bunch throughout this season with what they've done, what they've been able to do, averaging 57.2 points per game to Allen's 45.8. As I scroll down and try to look at the overall stats, they're not – I can't look at the – go by the stats because they're not up to date because North Crowley
– not max preps updated.
Yes, exactly. So North Crowley, I watched a video the other day about them, and there's talk that they can give Duncanville a run for their money if Duncanville can get the win, or after Duncanville gets the win over Bridgeland, they're out of region two. Duncanville averages
good.
Go ahead.
I think the Cypress Bridgeland team is good. If Duncanville overlooks them, we could see an upset in the making there in region two.
That would be an upset there is if Duncanville was to get knocked off. But I think everybody is wanting to see a North Shore Duncanville rematch at the state championship game.
Do we though?
Kind of, I said.
Do we want to see that? I'm like, that's kind of been played out like what, the last four years?
Yeah, something like that. But over in Region 3, North Shore versus Atascocita over at W.W. Thorne Stadium, the new stadium there, Aldine ISD, just off the Beltway. You can see it there. Super nice facility.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to check that out. One of my favorite stadiums was always the original Thorne Stadium.
Yes.
There in Aldine. Very good sight lines, great field. And so I definitely want to check out a football game there soon. Guys, if you don't mind, I sent y'all a stat or some stats on Friday night. And, you know, with all four teams moving on to the regional finals at a 23-6A, obviously 12-0 combined in the playoffs, but they have outscored their opponents. 23-6A has outscored their opponents 538-273.
Unbelievable.
And that's between North Shore, Atascocita, Summer Creek, and Kingwood.
Wow.
That's crazy numbers.
Well, and then, like you said, it is clearly the best district in 6A football.
I agree 100%. I mean,
I'm on record saying that, so
when
no argument out of me.
When you have your entire district, four teams that made the playoffs, when you have all four of them playing in the regional finals, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It's the best district in Texas high school football.
Yeah, and it's also the second year in a row.
You are correct.
Back to back. That's unbelievable.
Yeah. And Duncanville got the win, you know, on the big school side, and DeSoto got it on the small school side there in 6A. But yeah, the recruiting aspect that DeSoto and Duncanville have over what North Shore, Kingwood, Summer Creek, and Atascocita is just it's non-comparable, right? And yes, I said it, the recruiting that's there. I'll go on a limb and say that. And if you tell me that they're not, that if you can prove to me that they're not recruiting players, then I will never say it again. But until you can prove to me that they're not recruiting players, yeah, I'm out. But dropping down into Region 4, Lake Travis versus Austin Westlake. Another district rematch, the winner versus the runner-up here in Region 4. And ought to be a good one. And I actually had this one pulled up as well. No, I didn't. We missed this one, Trent, as a
district rematch.
Yeah, as a district rematch between these two. So
there were 11 total?
Yeah, we're 11 total.
Or wait a minute.
No, 10, we're at 10 11, total.
Somewhere in there.
We're at 10. We were at 9. So
so we're at 10.
Lake Travis has been averaging 47.6 points per game. Westlake, 45.3. And this ought to be a barn burner this week here in the regional finals. And that's what you want in the regional quarterfinal or regional finals. You expect to see a one-score game, maybe a field goal type game, in my opinion.
No, for sure. The Chaparrals, another team that has a storied history in the Texas State playoffs. It's going to be a fun one. Lake Travis has been knocking on the door, and Westlake has been one of those teams that have been standing in their way. And I could see the game going either way, but experience-wise, I lean Austin Westlake.
It's going to be a fun one. I'm so excited about the regional finals, which means we get down to we'll be down to four teams in each division next week, guys. When we sit down to talk about this, we'll be talking about the final four, and I'm super excited about that. See how it narrows down, as we got a lot of good games. Friday night, Anahuac Sports Live is going to be – where are you going to be, Trent?
Nowhere, at home, watching football.
You're going to be at the house. I thought you said you had a game.
Well, there's a possibility of a game if they need an extra team to cover a regional final. I told her that we would step in and step up to the plate if we're needed.
Okay. I thought when we were broadcasting earlier, I thought you had mentioned that you had a game that y'all were going to do. So with that being said,
Alex is he's bailing and going out of town this week.
Well, Friday we'll get. If something comes up, let me know. Let me see what we got. Let me see what the wife. I know what she has planned for Saturday, and it is Thanksgiving is past, and it is full Christmas mode here at the Irwin household. And
that North Shore Atascocita game 2 p.m. at Thorne is awful tempting to go to.
It really is. I mean, there's several games relatively close that are tempting to go to for myself, but I have to keep the boss happy. So, well, I got to play it easy. Is that fair to say?
Got to keep her happy.
Got to keep her happy. Well, guys, I appreciate y'all suiting in. Alex, I know you, as we got started, you had said Ray had gotten home, so I know he's wanting to catch up. He's probably sitting there watching you. It's been a good week. Good Thanksgiving week, and we're on our home stretch for the state championships. We're going to get the regional finals knocked out this week. Next week, we'll be talking about the semifinals and have a little bit better breakdown of each game of the semifinals. It's a lot less to talk about. And then as we prepare for the state championship games here in just 2 weeks in Texas high school football, you're listening to the 590 Sports Show powered by Texas Podcast Media. For Alex Outram, Trent Hart, I'm Craig Irwin. We will see you at the game. Bullfrog Environmental has 16 years of erosion control experience. From silt fence to construction entrances, we specialize in it all. Give us a call at 936-672-3744 or leap over and visit us on the web at bullfrogenvironmental.com.